Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 115, Someone Who Loves You. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me we have the Lobot to my Bib Fortuna. We have Carl LeClaire.
Technically, I'm not allowed to say anything, but hi. Is that a Walkman on your head, Lobot? Those are a little out of style, buddy.
Just a wee bit.
I love Lobot. Greatest action figure ever that I don't have. That's like top of my wish list. Which figure do you want, Lobot? What do you want to do with him? Everything. What can't you do with a Lobot? Where's the Black Series Lobot 6-inch figure?
Oh my gosh.
Removable Walkman.
That would be great.
Right? Wouldn't it?
Great. Now we know what we're hunting for when we go to Celebration in April.
Yes, for you. I gotta get a Lobot figure. Don't let me forget.
I won't.
Okay.
I won't. But in case you haven't noticed, folks, Jason is just a little sick. But that's okay.
And all right. Because he's sick, he's come to refer to himself in the third person.
Yes.
Which Carl finds a bit odd.
Yes. So Carl and Jason are going to be recording a podcast, even though they're both, well, at least half of them are under the weather. But hey, it's our first episode of 2015. I almost said 2014, which...
That's a whole... Dude, that was so last year.
It was last year.
Gotta let it go. Let it go. It was last year.
But yes, it is 2015. It's been a little bit since we recorded an episode, and so we need to get this one out, and I'm really looking forward to it.
How come?
Because it's all about Return of the Jedi.
Oh, man. You really like Return of the Jedi. That's a good one.
I do.
It's forever my second favorite.
Excuse me. Yes, well, I'm sorry. That was a cough that snuck up out of nowhere. And it's still sitting in the back of my throat, so just be forewarned. But, my goodness, I'm sorry.
Jason's going to be having little coughing attacks tonight, everybody. He's been puffing on Jabba's, smoke stick.
Oh, dear. No, I hope not. But I will try to mute my mic so you hear as few coughs as possible, but those ones I was unable to get to. Anyways, but before we get to our topic all about Return of the Jedi, we have a poll all about Return of the Jedi. So
indeed we do. We, following up after the Empire Strikes Back poll, we figure we get a sense of what's your favorite scene in Return of the Jedi. And got quite a few responses once again, which is awesome. So poor Jason, who's not feeling well, is going to get to read all of those. So go ahead, Jason.
All right. There's not a lot of these that got a lot of votes, but there's a lot of different items on this poll. So we will get started forthwith. In fifth place, with one vote each, we have Vader's funeral pyre, Luke and Leia in the Ewok tree forest, Yoda's death, that was Joe Mignano. He just likes it when the Jedi die. So Luke and Obi-Wan on Dagobah, when Luke unmasks Anakin / Vader on the Death Star, the victory celebration, which is a great one, the Rancor pit, anything with Slave Leia was an option on there, and the scene where Luke and the Emperor exchange words about each other's weaknesses. Your overconfidence is your weakness. Your faith in your friends is yours. Hey, Palpatine's not too bad today with this throat. But and then someone said, any scene without that horrible CG dance number, which I anyway, I don't particularly agree with, but if you want to have that, very well. In
just to back them
place,
up, I always skip that scene when I'm watching.
Well,
I hate it.
When we watch together, Carl, we're not skipping it.
That's fine. I'll just go to the bathroom during the scene.
Nope.
Something.
Nope. I will grab you and I will make sure you stay on the couch and we'll watch Jedi Rocks together. So, in fourth place with two votes each, we have Jabba's throne room, the Battle of Endor, all of it. the Endor space battle in particular. And then in third place with three votes each, was the Pit of Karakun. Luke and Vader on Endor, their little conversation there about, you know, that my father is truly gone. In second place with four votes each, we have the Luke and Vader duel on the Death Star. And then I'm a Jedi in particular. And this is where both Carl's and my votes went. So,
hell to the yeah.
Yeah, yes. And we've said a lot about this, but Carl, why did we pick this?
Well, what great power you've given me. I get to speak for both of us now.
Yes, yes.
We don't like Jedi Rocks.
I am the podcast. That's right, I've given you this permission. Do not squander it.
Oh, I mean, for me, it's a great scene because it's the completion of Luke's hero's journey. He's making a claim of he has become what he set out to be, which was a Jedi. And he does that in the footsteps of his father. So it's this great scene of him standing up and declaring to the face of evil, there's nothing you can do to change me because this is who I am. So I mean, it's just a very powerful scene.
Indeed. Indeed. I agree. And it's... it is that assumption of identity that he has finally identified who he is, not only to himself, but to the galaxy at large. But that leaves us with one more. In first place with five votes, excuse me, is the section of the Luke Vader duel where Luke goes bonkers right after sister. Perhaps she will, and no, and then that whole section there with the fight and the music and everything.
Yeah, that's the first. It's the only time in the OT where there's a choir.
It is
so.
It's true, which it works very well there.
It does. So. It works so well. So, and it's very subtle too, which is cool.
It is. It is. It's a very understated musical moment, which works so well for the gravity of the situation there.
Yeah.
But that was number one with everybody. So we have a new matchup for the end of the show. It was a little bit different, sort of a matchup poll thing. But what that is, you will have to find out in the show. But until then, what is our topic today, Mr. LeClaire?
Return of the Jedi. we've never done a show on anything directly related to Return of the Jedi. We've done stuff on all the prequel movies. We've done audio commentaries for most of the prequel movies. We did it for 2 and 3. And we've done like a couple shows on A New Hope. We've done a couple shows on, well, we've done one show on Empire. Actually, you weren't there, but
I wasn't because you decided while I was at Phoenix Comic Con last year, 2 years ago, that you and Joe were going to do it.
I was
which is fine.
Yeah, you know,
it's fine. I'm still going to do one with Steve Lawson about Return of the Jedi. So just the two of us. I'm going to
steal
from you.
That's fine with me. But, yeah, so we figured we should do something Return of the Jedi related. And rather than going through the whole movie, like, scene by scene, we just decided to pick a couple elements of Return of the Jedi that were kind of like our favorite. So we're going to do our favorite character from the movie, our favorite battle scene from the movie, our favorite musical piece in the movie, and our favorite random scene. So we're just going to talk some Return of the Jedi. You know, before we even get into that, when I was a kid, Jason, this was always my favorite Star Wars movie.
As it should be.
Yeah. But honestly, I think it would still... I don't think I could ever like it better than Empire Strikes Back, because it's just, to me, Empire is just the perfect movie, period, like of all movies. That's why it's my favorite movie of all time. But Jedi, just like it... I was watching this with Joe Hogan a couple days ago, and we both commented about the fact that when they first arrive on Endor, it kind of, after the speeder bike chase, things kind of slow down for a little bit. And I think just like the way it's, you know, there's all this momentum, and then it really slows, and then there's the huge battle at the end, obviously. But that kind of like awkward slowness to kind of three quarters of the way into the movie just kind of throws me off. And I'm still not like, like the Jabba's palace sequence is, it's really good, but it's not the most riveting thing from Star Wars for me. But as a kid, because of all the action, Return of the Jedi was always my favorite. And the fact that there's like this huge battle in the woods, and I lived in the woods, and you know, it was very easy to recreate. But yeah, it wasn't until I started to get a little bit older that Empire took its place. But it is. I mean, it's just such a great movie.
Oh yes, I wholeheartedly agree. Except for the fact that Empire did not take its place for me. and as someone who is, you know, a lover of the prequels and will defend those till the day he dies, Return of the Jedi still reigns supreme for me as my favorite Star Wars movie, and therefore my favorite movie of all time. So, and I've talked about why I like the Jabba's Palace sequence before. There is a bit of a slowdown there after they get on to Endor, but obviously they have to do that because there's a half an hour straight of action immediately following it. So they need to give us a breather at some point. But
right,
I'm just excited to talk about Return of the Jedi. So why don't we do that?
Let's do it. What do you want to start with?
I think we should save a favorite character for last.
I think we should save favorite random scene for last.
Oh, that's true.
And then character second to last.
Okay. Well, then how about we do our favorite musical number?
Let's do it. Okay. Now, for me, I actually cheated and picked two. sorry. I couldn't decide. But they're both like... I picked something from like inside the movie. Like it's in the sense of, it's not like my favorite song on the soundtrack, right? Like it's something in the movie as well.
Yes. It's source music.
Right. Right. Exactly. Do you want me to start?
Sure. Go ahead.
And the first one is Into the Trap. It's the start of the Battle of Endor. I think it's called Battle of Endor 2 on the soundtrack, but it's when they're flying and, you know, about to show up at the Death Star. We all know that song, you know.
Oh yes,
exactly. Yeah, it's a great piece.
It's so exciting.
It really is, and it does. It's just such. It really builds up the anticipation of something big is about to happen, and it's just really fun. And it's very militaristic. I mean, I've talked about this song before, so I don't want to say the same things over again. But it is. It has like this like military beat to it, of troops marching into battle. And it's awesome. It's such a great piece. So
it builds the tension and it gives excitement to what's about to come. So it's so great.
Exactly. I mean, it has such a rising quality to it. That makes it really fun, to listen to, you know? So,
There it is.
Listen to those drums. Well, they were just there. Okay, yeah, we get it.
Okay. Oh, I love it. Well, I suppose it's fitting that you cheated and picked two, because I picked one that is sort of what?
It's fitting that I cheated? Thanks.
Well, because I picked one that sort of is source music, like in the movie, and is sort of not. And so I'll let you get to your second one after I do mine, because mine is just sort of like straddles that. And that's the victory celebration.
Okay. All right. That's a great one.
And
yeah.
And you know, it's sort of like source music. Like it's almost like the Ewoks are singing it, but it's yes, but it's definitely very much a part of the soundtrack. So, this is my favorite musical number. Dink, dink, in the movie. So,
Yeah, that's a really fun piece. Do you prefer this? You know, the change they made in the special edition to Yub Nub.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
That's the one change of all the changes they've ever made. It's the only one that I'm like head over heels in love with. Even the other ones I like, they're like okay, I'm fine with or without them. But this one I love. Like I think it enhances the film so much. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
I'm not sure if I've actually ever seen the movie with Yub Nub in it.
Really?
So, yeah. I might have seen it once, but, I mean, I've heard Yub Nub, you know, just because it gets around, and it was on the Cantina Heroes level on Battlefront 2. You'd play that, and they would play, like, the Cantina music, or it'd play Yub Nub, or something, you know, goofy and fun, exciting.
It's a really long intro.
It is a really long intro.
Yeah, so that's Yub Nub.
Yeah, and while Yub Nub is fun and all, it doesn't have that, like, grand culmination that the end of Return of the Jedi needs.
Absolutely.
There's so much that was accomplished there at the end of Return of the Jedi that it needs something a little more stately, a little more...
A little more epic.
Epic, yeah, a little more epic.
You know?
And I think the victory celebration did that, so...
I completely agree. I mean, I've always enjoyed Yub Nub, and I remember I had this... there was this, like, special edition soundtrack that came out shortly before they released, you know, the two disc like booklet editions, which had like basically every minute of music in order for all the films. But it was a three disc set, and there was like all three. I'm pretty sure all three discs. They weren't like for the three movies. It was just like different music on each movie. But they had a Yub Nub version being sung by Ewoks. And I never actually had the CD. My cousin had the CD, so I taped it off of him, like on a you know, video, or not video cassette, but a tape cassette, right? You remember these things?
Yes.
And I had it for the longest time, but it wore out or I threw it out at some point because I don't have that version at all anymore. But it's, I mean, it's literally Yub Nub, but it's being sung by Ewoks. It was really funny. Yeah, I mean, Yub Nub is great. It's a fun song. It fits well, but, you know, I completely agree. Like, the Victory Celebration song is, I mean, it is the perfect wrap-up piece for Star Wars. Because you do, I mean, think of like the, you know, the Throne Room song from the end of Episode 4. I mean, it's so heroic, it's so epic, it's so fulfilling. To end our saga with something like Yub Nub just doesn't quite feel finished, right? Like, it doesn't quite feel complete.
Right.
So to, like, kind of one-up it with that Victory Celebration song is pretty awesome. Now, quick question, and I'm pretty sure he did, but I'm not positive. I'm sure you'll know, though. That is a John Williams piece, right? Like, he did write
yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
Yes. He went back and did that.
Okay.
So
that's what I thought. Just wanted to make sure. all right, yeah. I got to – I'm cheating now, and – I wanted to go with something that I don't normally go with. I tried to pull a Jason Hunt here. But this song, there's the first point we ever hear this song in Star Wars is just so chilling. And it's the Emperor's Throne Room song. It's the Emperor's theme song, kind of from Return of the Jedi. And it's just so spooky and haunting. And when he first like starts, right, like when he arrives on the Death Star, P.S., one of the coolest scenes in all of Star Wars, in my opinion. I just love that matte painting. I love that set piece. And like they're playing the Imperial March, right? Like, but then as the Emperor starts coming down the ramp, it's no longer Vader's theme. It's this totally different, sinister sound, but it's very subtle and very haunting, very frightening almost. There it is.
Luke meets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Whoops, my bad. But it's the same. Oh, here we go. Here. I'm finding it. Sorry, everybody's like, okay, there it is. Well, that was the end of it. We all know what it is.
Yes. It's great, though.
It is. It is such, it's so haunting. It's, I think, is there a choir in that?
I think there is.
So good. Yeah.
Something like that.
It's so haunting. Like, and it's so perfect for him too, right? Like as he comes down that walkway on the shuttle. I mean, it's so perfect. It's so the Emperor's theme.
Yeah. With Vader kneeling, it's like, oh crap.
Yeah. Yeah. P.S. They use that really well too, a few times in the Clone Wars, like especially when he's going off to take on Savage and Darth Maul, mm-hmm. in season 5. Oh, and
they
so did, good.
They brought it back in the prequels too. So
that's right. Yeah, yeah. I think they used it a little bit. And did they use it in Attack of the Clones?
I think they used it.
I know they use it in Revenge of the Sith.
I think they used it once at the very end when Palpatine goes. Or Dooku goes to meet up with Sidious on Coruscant.
Okay.
I think they slip it in there real
quick.
That's
right, they do. You're right. Yep.
And they use it in The Phantom Menace, too. So,
they do? I didn't even realize.
Not like very overstated. It's not like as full as it is in like Revenge of the Sith or Return of the Jedi. But
it's
it is in there. So.
Nice. Let's go to our favorite battle scene. I guess I'm going to get to go first again.
Okay, you go first.
Obviously, if you say that to me, the Battle of Endor, it's like, well, no duh, but that's everything. My favorite part of the Battle of Endor, though, is the space battle. I was really surprised. Like when I was talking to Joe about it the other day, he's like, really, you're going to pick that over the Vader-Luke duel? And while I love the Vader and Luke duel, it's very short. Whereas the space battle is a bit drawn out and it's so fun. And we have not seen a space battle like that. I mean, I think it blows the space battle from A New Hope away. Because obviously the technology is a lot better, so they could do a lot more. But those shots of the capital ships, right? Like the medical frigate flying up next to the Star Destroyer and the Star Destroyer is next to the Mon Calamari cruisers, just like exchanging these barrages of fights, like an old pirate ships, right? And
yeah.
It's just so cool. That space battle is awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And who's leading the way? Lando and Wedge, which is perfect. And Wedge is like, oh, he's so supportive in this scene. Like, good shot, Red 2. Or like, you know, he's like, he's always like, he's like your friend, fun little friend who's just encouraging you. Like, you don't get a sense of danger from Wedge at all. Like, Wedge at no point feels threatened. Like, he's just that good. But he's not cocky about it. He's just damn good.
He's in the zone.
He is.
He's in the zone.
He is the perfect fighter pilot.
Yeah. Carl, you took it right out of my mouth. I was gonna say the whole end battle sequence, but since that's almost a third of the movie.
Right.
I was gonna narrow it down and I picked the space battle.
So good.
It is so good. It's definitely, I think, I don't know if I would say the most fun, because sometimes some of the things that the Ewoks do to trip up the walkers is pretty funny, but it always captured me though, because this was the first time, you know, when I first saw it in the theaters in the special edition, it's the first time I, you know, really got an idea of what all these ships were really capable of. And then, of course, as I've said before, fairly or unfairly, it is what I judge all space battles by, which, you know, because it's so great. The space battle in Revenge of the Sith was pretty cool, but we didn't get to see a whole lot of it. So this one definitely takes the cake for me, and I like the ships. The ships in this space battle are some of my favorites. X-Wings, A-Wings, B-Wings, Y-Wings, and of course that medical frigate. I love the Nebulon B medical frigate. So, I've always loved the Rebel starfighters and capital ships. Those have always been some of my favorites. Of course, throw in the Jedi Starfighter, the Naboo Starfighter, and we're golden. But
you have Rick Ollie all of a sudden in the re-release special edition of Return of the Jedi. Rick Ollie flying around in a Naboo Starfighter.
There's the blockade.
Shield generator's been hit. Can we do an episode just on Rick Ollie at some point?
That would be a very short episode.
No, we could make it last. The title could just be Shield Generator's Been Hit. The hyperdrive is leaking. I didn't realize it could leak. Rick.
Rick.
And those two control the basis bridge.
With him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You catch on pretty quick. It's very encouraging to Anakin.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
If they had let Rick Ollie spend more time with Anakin, I don't think he would have fallen to the dark side. I'm fairly confident about that.
He was a nice guy.
I think I want to marry this girl. No, you don't. You made a commitment, buddy. Come on, let's go fly. And I'll be like, okay.
he's a nice guy.
Yes.
He's definitely a nice guy.
Oh, we totally got to do Rick Ollie versus Wedge in a star battle. Ooh.
Although we know who would win. Yeah. At least Wedge. I think I do.
Yeah. Wedge would own him.
Wedge would totally win. But anyways, Rick Ollie is not actually in Return of the Jedi.
No,
so
sorry. Yeah. Too bad.
Let's go back to the space
battle. I mean, hey, if they're going to add a Doug into the Jabba's Palace, there's no reason they can't add Rick Ollie into the ND celebration at least.
Scraggly old Rick Ollie.
Yeah. Put his Force Ghost in there. Okay, sorry.
Did we have anything else we wanted to say on the space battle before we get back on track?
Just that it's amazing.
It is. It is epic. It is amazing.
Yes. But no, that's it.
Yeah. And as far as the lightsaber battle between Vader and Luke, what I like most about that is the character moments between the fighting. Right. So that's why that wasn't my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I'll say a quick comment about that duel as well. Is actually, you know, when George Lucas put together the duel for The Phantom Menace, you know, he was always very adamant about the fact that, you know, we've never seen Jedi in their prime. He wanted it to be quick and very, stylistic.
Mm-hmm.
The Vader-Luke duel in Return of the Jedi actually is pretty quick at certain points.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not as stylized and pretty as The Phantom Menace one is.
No.
But it is quick, especially, you know, when we first cut to it, so, right, Luke lunges at the Emperor and Vader saves him. And then when we first come back to the duel, and they're going at it and Luke kicks him down the stairs, that little element right there is actually very quick. Those sabers are moving very quickly.
Yeah.
So.
No, it is. It is. It's pretty quick. It's not quite as fast as Phantom Menace.
No.
But it is pretty quick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yes. But
it's a great duel.
It is.
So. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny bit better than the Obi-Wan Darth Vader duel from A New Hope.
Just a tiny bit?
Clearly I'm joking.
Just a tiny bit?
Yeah, just a tiny bit.
All right.
But let's go to your favorite character. I have a feeling we might have the same one.
Probably. Because we seem to have a lot of the same thoughts concerning Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. Lando Calrissian?
Yeah, of course.
What have we here?
But no. In all seriousness, no. Can I go first on this one?
Yes, you can.
All right. Luke Skywalker, of course. I mean, he is the main character of Return of the Jedi. And also, I did kind of cheat on this one. I said Luke Skywalker / Palpatine because I quote more lines from Palpatine in Return of the Jedi than anything else in Star Wars. So I had to put him there. But in all seriousness, it really is Luke. Excuse me. Because of the journey that he goes on and completes in the movie, the ability to trust in the Force and to do what he did in rescuing Anakin from the clutches of Vader and the Emperor. So, redeeming Anakin, that was the word I was looking for. He really is the main character in Return of the Jedi. We get Han and Leia are almost reduced to secondary characters compared to Luke. In Return of the Jedi, even more so than they were in the other movies. Because Luke is technically the main character of the OT, if you want to look at screen time. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Poor Jason.
Just is sitting in the back of my throat there, tickle.
I hate that. But yeah, no, Luke is obviously my favorite character in Return of the Jedi. While Han Solo is definitely my favorite Star Wars character, his story isn't overly compelling in Return of the Jedi, in the sense of he's just kind of, not that he's, I mean, I love Han in Return of the Jedi, mainly because we get to see him use his blaster a lot, which is awesome. It's just the character Luke has become, you know, like you said, I mean, he is really the main character of the OT, and we see the completion of his journey. In Return of the Jedi, and we see this guy who's just incredibly confident and incredibly strong in the Force, and that's because of his ability to trust in it, to kind of let it guide his life, as opposed to being like the Emperor, where he thinks he can, you know, direct and guide the course of all events. Right. But we have this very, very confident Luke who, you know, he's still the same Luke, in a sense, from A New Hope, in the sense of there's still a lot of character traits that he maintains, which I appreciate. You know, he can still be goofy, he can still be fun. Like, that's the stuff on Endor, like when they're looking for Leia and stuff, and, you know, watching him interact with Han and the Ewoks, like, Luke is still kind of that, like, a little bit naive, funny farm boy, but he's, like, wisened up so much.
Right.
He's become the leader of the group. Whereas, like, in A New Hope, when they're running around the halls of the Death Star, to me, Han is the leader of the group. Now, by the end of our story, Luke is clearly the leader of the group. He's able to react and respond to things in a very profound way because of the journey he's been through. He's just every scene he's in on screen, I'm invested in, from him strolling in, you know, into the Jabba's palace, to watching his smile at the, you know, at the appearance of the Force Ghosts. Like, Luke is, to me, the central character of this film. And he's just a lot of fun to watch. But I will say, I want to give a quick shout-out, because I don't really talk about this character a lot, is Darth Vader. Darth Vader is my second favorite character in the film. Because, obviously, this is the first film where we really see character development in Darth Vader. I mean, right. Episodes 4 and 5, he's the villain. His pleas to Luke to join him is not for familial purposes or love or compassion. Nope. It's simply for power and overthrowing the Emperor. But in Return of the Jedi, I mean, we see character development in Darth Vader. And that's what's so incredible, is we see an internal struggle in a person who's wearing a mask. How awesome is that? Right. I mean, the body acting of David Prowse is to be praised in Return of the Jedi. Does a great job. It's worth mentioning.
Yeah, there's so much struggle that you can read on his face, on the mask's faceplate. You know, in several of the scenes, obviously, you know, some of those scenes even made it on the poll here, where, you know, the two of them have their discussion on Endor, and then of course when Luke is getting electrocuted by the Emperor, there's that struggle that you can see. It's, you know, it's really interesting the way that works out. You know, it's so well done,
right,
by David Prowse. So,
yeah, I'm going to throw in something real quick, kind of random, before our random scene.
Okay.
Because we're talking about Luke so much. I was watching Return of the Jedi with Joe Hogan last week, and he brought up this point to me, and he did say, you know, this isn't original to me, but I had never noticed this. But he was talking about how, you know how Luke's wearing that shirt with kind of the flap on it?
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the movie, right as he's being electrocuted, the flap kind of opens. So right after he rejects the Emperor's offer of turning to the dark side, the flap becomes opened, and you can see that it's light on the inside. So it's kind of symbolic of the fact that underneath all of Luke is this goodness, this light. Mm-hmm. And it's really good that it doesn't expose itself until after he has completely denied the dark side, right? So, like, the reason he's dressed all in black, the reason we see him using his very first Force ability in Return of the Jedi is Force Choke, which we've only ever seen Darth Vader use. You know, George Lucas purposely begins the story with showing that Luke could be susceptible to the dark side, that he could fall.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the film, when he does that, you know, that powerful scene of, like, I'm a Jedi like my father before me, when the Emperor starts electrocuting him, the flap on his shirt that's the first time we see it open. And then it remains open the rest of the film. And, you know, Joe pointed out that the inside of the flap is a light color. And it's kind of symbolic of the light that is inside of him that is showing forth now, especially in light of the fact that he has completely and utterly denied the dark side. He has turned from the darkness and has now exposed the light within himself. So I just thought that was a really cool point. I never would have picked up on that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it is cool. And I had noticed that happened, but I just hadn't remembered when during the battle that the flap had opened. But, you know, leave it to an artist with an attention to color detail to figure that one out.
Right.
So I need to join you and Joe on some of these.
Yes, you do.
These Skype watching excursions.
Yeah.
Where you guys just, like, marathon Star Wars.
Usually marathon Ghostbusters, but yeah, occasionally Star Wars. Yeah. But I loved that point. And I told him I was going to rub it off as my own, and he said, don't you dare. And he said, besides, it's not even mine. So I said, okay. But yeah, I mean, what an interesting point. And you know, how cool too. Like, what, you know, maybe that is just totally by accident. Maybe it comes open because he's being electrocuted and flopping all over the floor. And that was really the only purpose. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, these films are packed with meaning, and I like to think that might really be what it's about, is this turning of Luke to the light is now being exposed, even in a physical way, on the way he's dressed, which I just think is really cool. So anyway, I like that. I thought it was a cool point.
Cool. Yeah.
Let's do favorite random scene in Return of the Jedi. And
yes,
I doubt we'll have the same one, but there's a small chance we might. So I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. I just, you know, when we were coming up with this list, you just said, in favorite random scene, I was like, okay, what's my favorite scene that's not something I've already, like, talked to death?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really difficult because I've talked a lot about Return of the Jedi. You know, and not something that I was going to use for the poll. So, mm-hmm. Ultimately, what I came up with was the scene where Luke meets the Emperor. I love
awesome
that scene. So, you know, of course, I quote it all the time. You know, that's part of it. But the chessboard is being set here for the last act of the movie. Luke goes in. The Emperor thinks he's got it all in hand, and he's going to, you know, there's an entire legion of my best troops awaiting, you know, your friends down on the moon. And then, of course, the fleet is ready, and the Death Star is ready, and I'm going to turn you. And Luke's going to be, you know, defiant, you know, soon I'll be dead, and you with me. And, of course, like somebody else said, as their favorite scene in the poll was that great little interchange of your overconfidence is your weakness, your faith in your friends is yours. Well, at the end of the day, whose weakness was borne out to be true? It was Luke's. But But I just love it because it sets everything up. It sets everything up, and it's just a really almost a scary scene because Luke is now in the heart of the Death Star with the most powerful evil person in the galaxy that we know of at the time. And we have no idea how he's going to get out. And the Emperor is pretty confident that he's going to win. So, but of course, I just love the scene. So that's why it's my favorite random scene.
That is really good. I love, in both Empire and Return of the Jedi, whenever we have scenes with the bad guys, those are actually some of my favorite scenes. I don't know why. It's just really good. When you have a good villain that you just want to watch them on screen, right. Like, that's so good. I think that was, not to get off Star Wars, but just quick little side point, like with the Dark Knight trilogy. I think the scenes in Dark Knight with the Joker are so compelling because he's such a compelling character. Whereas Bane, right. I enjoy Bane. I think Tom Hardy does a great job as Bane, but he's not as compelling a character as Joker. Because Joker is just psycho and crazy, and that's compelling. It's terrifying yet intriguing. Whereas Bane right. has like this real intricate plan, which is not that exciting.
and it's not even really his.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. But back to Star Wars. you know, like, just watching the Emperor, especially in Return of the Jedi, like, every time Vader goes to report in, he's just so in control of everything, and he has all of these troops and forces at his command. So what a great point, you know, when Luke shows up there, I mean, what's he really going to do? I mean, he's so, what appears to be so powerless, you know, and even when, like, right. the Emperor just, like, barely, like, lifts a finger to, like, let his, you know, open his binders,
right?
You know,
you no longer need those.
And there's even a look of almost like amazement on Luke's eyes, right? Like the simplicity with which the Emperor does that, and maybe also the astonishment that, like, wow, he must be really powerful if he's not even remotely threatened by me being, you know, free to move around here, right?
Right.
He's waving his lightsaber in his face, just taunting him, and the way he just stands up to him, like. And, you know, that great shot where the Emperor first fires something at him and Luke fires right back. And the Emperor, Vader, just quickly, like, there's this quick turn. He, like, his whole body turns and, like, looks at Luke like, holy crap, dude, you can't talk to him like that. He's the Emperor. Right. Like, there's just this amazement because every time we've seen Vader interact with the Emperor, he's the obedient dog. You know, I mean, that's really what he is. Whereas right. Luke is somebody who's not afraid to stand up to him. And I think that just shocks Vader so much, which is, that's such an incredible scene. So, good pick.
Thank you. And what's your favorite random scene in Return of the Jedi?
There are a lot of good ones, but this one is just so heartwarming to me. And it's the scene when 3PO is telling us the story of Star Wars to the Ewoks in a treehouse. Nice. I mean, what's more exciting than a treehouse with tons of fires everywhere, which, by the way, the Ewoks don't seem to be worried about.
there's ways to do that.
Right. No, I know.
I don't know them, but there are ways.
But yeah, I love the scene. It's very heartwarming. And we have all of our main characters back together. We've got 3PO, R2, and the big three, and Chewie all together. And they're together, and 3PO is telling their story. He's telling this story to, one, it's kind of cool because we're like, we're about two-thirds of the way into Return of the Jedi at this point, and it's almost like a nice little recap of everything our heroes have been through. And it's also a way of showing to this outside group, to this tribe of Ewoks, like, this is what we've been doing. This is the fight we've been fighting. Let us know if you think we're worthy of fighting with and fighting for. And I think that's what 3PO is doing there, which I think is really cool, is it's... He's telling us the story of the heroes and how the heroes also fell on some really bad times, right? Like, Trun to Gush. yes, Otto, I was just getting to that.
Otto and Chimini Chadoom.
And all the Ewoks, wow! And Han Solo, Tiglo Cobbin. Wicket's like purring, petting his leg. So, like,
oh, so I'm cute. So sorry that you're in carbonite.
But yeah, I mean, it's just so it's very heartwarming and it's very fun, and it's also very compelling because it retells us the story, and it tells us the story and the reality of that just because they're the good guys and the heroes doesn't mean that they haven't fallen on bad times. And now here they are falling on some bad times once again, and they need some help, and their story is worth fighting for, which I just think is really cool. So, you know, nothing better than, you know, it's like they're getting new friends, and they're getting their new friends because they're telling them what kind of people they are. 3PO is telling them, these are the type of people you'd be helping out. Are they worth helping? And it's like, yeah, hell yeah, they are. So,
wonderful. We are now a part of the tribe.
Just what I always wanted.
And all the Ewoks celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. So I just love that scene. It's great.
It's a great scene. Yeah. It's a really great scene. And of course, you know, he's telling it to them in their language, which, you know, it's fun for us as the audience members who know the story to be able to pick out what he's talking about, even though we don't understand the words he's using to tell the story. So, yeah.
I love his Darth Vader breathing too. Yeah. Nooch Vader.
Yes. It also gives this idea that the story is transcends cultures.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, it's being told in another language. So that's really cool too.
Yeah. Awesome. Yay. So there's just a little dip into Return of the Jedi. We'll get back to this stuff more intensely in the future.
Yes. Yes. But we did have a couple of things we wanted to talk about this episode. It is our first episode of 2015, and so we did want to give a little bit of time to talk about what we're looking forward to as it relates to Star Wars this year. So what are you looking forward to,
Carl? Well, I mean, I'm going to save the big ones because I think we all know what's coming. And 2015 is the year of Star Wars. But actually, I'm looking forward to something this coming Wednesday on January 14th with the release of the new Star Wars Marvel comic.
Oh, nice. Are you going to pick it up?
Oh, yeah. I've already got a copy being held for me at the comic shop I go to.
Nice.
You know, now that I'm like super into comics, I'm really excited about this. So we've got, you know, we've got the new Star Wars Marvel line coming. And then I think it's in February or March is the, his name is blanking on me right now. The Rebels character. Wow, Carl. Kanan, the Kanan comic. I think that comes out in the next month or two. And then we have a Princess Leia comic coming out soon. So it's just, I'm really excited about those too. It's like the Disney Star Wars stuff is really going to start kicking off this year. Cause all we've really gotten so far is Rebels, and Rebels has been nothing short of amazing. So,
yes,
that gives me great faith in what Disney will continue to do with the Star Wars saga. So,
yeah. And, the most recent episode of Rebels, was just absolutely fantastic. Carl's going to go watch it.
As soon as we're done recording, I'll finally get a second to sit down and watch it. But yeah, I've heard it's really good. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, it was amazing. So, that's a good one. I'm gonna say something that is more of a hope, and that being the return of consistent action figure collecting.
Ooh,
because we're gonna have a new movie. We have a new TV show that needs to have the action figures, you know, start hitting the pegs. But we're gonna have a new movie at the end of the year. And I really hope that Star Wars action figure collecting like really comes back in a big way, especially towards the end of the year as we gear up for Episode 7. But because it's sort of like fallen off the map, at least especially for me recently. So
yeah, no, you're right. Like I'll walk into like a Target or even Toys R Us, and the Star Wars toy selection is never that great. And the Rebels toys are like really underwhelming to me. Like the actual action figures, they're so few and far between. It's usually just all these like really tall, kind of kiddish things that I have no desire in. So,
right.
But yeah, I'm totally on board with that. I'd love to get better action figures, and I'm sure we will with Episode 7 coming out. Or at least you would hope.
I hope so. You know, that's sort of a hope that I think will happen. But it's definitely something I hope happens. So, anything else before we start getting to the big two things that we're looking forward to?
No.
Okay. Well, coming up in April, Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. Super, super excited about this.
Wait, what's that? Because I know Celebration 7's coming up.
Oi.
What's this other
be
thing?
Nice. So be nice. Be nice.
I don't remember going to Celebration Orlando. So,
oh, Carl.
Sorry, I'm just calling it like I see it. C7. But anyway, yes, very exciting.
I mean, you know, exciting because it's the biggest Star Wars adventure, you know, Star Wars party of the year. And but most importantly, I get to see Carl in person again. So,
yeah, Jason's still reluctant to move to Boston. I don't get it, but
it's this white powdery stuff called snow.
Oh, Jason, it's come on! It's currently -4 out right now. Come on.
It's currently like 60 or 58 here in Tucson. So, although it is raining, which is weird for Tucson, but. I'm perfectly fine with my desert. Thank you very much.
We're all fine here. How are you?
Yes, we're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you being snowed in, you know?
Well, there's no snow really. It's just cold. but, yeah, no, I can't wait for C7. Obviously, and the main reason of course is to see you and see all of our other friends who we haven't seen since Celebration 6.
Right.
That's obviously the best part. And not to mention the fact that this celebration is going to, like, just... I mean, granted, I've only ever been to one, but I guarantee it's going to blow all of them away. Because not only is it a new location, but it's also, you know, 6 months... No, I suck at math. 8 months? Yeah, 8 months before a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know, and we just found out that they're going to be premiering Revenge of the Sith in 3D there. I guess Attack of the Clones just got forgotten.
Attack of the Clones in 3D was done at Celebration Europe 2.
Oh, which okay.
I'm so irritated because they're not going to show it at this one.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'll definitely go see Revenge of the Sith in 3D there.
Yeah.
I'm looking
forward to that.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're premiering the premiere episode of Season
2 of Rebels. That's right.
At Anaheim. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll hopefully be able to see a lot of Larians there, you know, actually get to meet Larians, because we were still sort of getting our feet under us when we went to Celebration 6. So
we were really bashful.
We were.
We had like all these business cards. I think we handed out zero.
I started leaving them on the little tables.
So did I. but yeah, I'm definitely more confident now. Well, at least I think I am.
Yeah, well,
but we're also, you and I go because we just want to have fun. We're not there to necessarily like be like recording on every little thing. We leave that to the Blantons and the Star Wars Report. That's fine. They can do that. That's not why I'm there.
We go for the fan experience.
Exactly.
Fan experience.
And then it's fun too, because then we record about it like a week later and it like brings up all those great emotions again.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, both Fan Days and C6 are two of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. You know, I mean, they're right up there with like kissing a girl you love. Or Mike Cohen. Just kidding.
Crystal would agree with you.
Yes. P.S. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Crystal.
Yes, happy birthday, Crystal. And Kyle. Kyle Baca.
Yeah, that's right.
They share the same birthday. How about that?
But yeah, C7 will be phenomenal.
Indeed.
And I think there's one other thing coming up in 2015.
Yeah. They keep mentioning this.
Actually, before we get into that, though, new Star Wars soundtrack? Hello. We're
going to
get a
God.
New John Williams Star Wars soundtrack for a new movie. All right, let's give a second to let that sink in.
Yeah.
Let's observe a moment of silence.
Moment's over. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
But yeah, that is going to be so freaking cool. Yes. I mean, I'll never forget how awesome it was when I got that Phantom Menace soundtrack early. And granted, the same was true of episodes 2 and 3, but episode 1 especially, because it was a whole new sound. And like episode 7 is going to be a whole new sound. And we got a brief taste of that in the teaser. I cannot wait for this new soundtrack. and the liner notes, and I never literally buy CDs anymore. Like, I never buy a hard copy of a CD anymore. You know, I buy everything digitally. I will buy this hard copy for sure. You know, it is, you can't not have that.
Right.
I just cannot wait. I cannot wait for that soundtrack to come out. And my guess is it'll probably come out the week before the movie.
And that's generally the case with movies. So
I would assume the action figures too. I'm sure they'll be out the week before the movie.
Yeah. Sometimes they're out like the month before. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Right. But then we have episode 7. No big deal.
No big deal. And yeah, that's what we're looking forward to. No.
You know, what's actually really cool already, and I would love for you to join us, but I'm sure you can't because it's a long way to come in December. But yes, there are a ton of people coming to New York City for like the Joe Hogan crowd, and I'll be going as well. Like Jazz is going to be coming over from Norway. Chris D's coming over from France, like a whole bunch of those guys. And I mean, it's going to be like another celebration in New York City come December, which will be awesome.
Nice.
So I can't wait for that. I cannot wait for that because, you know, I was like, well, should I go see it in Boston and like drag a friend, or should I go with Star Wars fans who are my friends? So I'm definitely going to be going down to New York that weekend. And then I'm sure I'll see it a bajillion times in Boston, potentially by myself. I don't care. But, you know, that is going to be just so amazing to get a new Star Wars movie that we know nothing about.
Yes.
So
I'll be able to see BB-8 on the big screen.
I can't wait.
Oh, man. Although when I went to go see the Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies in IMAX 3D with Kyle Baca, they had the Star Wars Episode 7 trailer in IMAX 3D, and it looked amazing.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah,
it was
so good.
John Boyega scared me when he popped up in IMAX 3D. It was like, oh.
There has been an awakening. There is an awakening. Can you feel it?
I thought it
was
heavy.
The dark side and the light.
Oh, man. I just hope we see a lot of Han and Leia kissing. I really want to see that. Old man Harrison and old lady Carrie getting it on.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope they have like a revolving, like a circular bed that just goes in circles on the Millennium Falcon.
Wow.
That Chewie's like working on. And it's just very subtle. He's just subtly working on it in the background in one scene. We never actually see it in use, but we just know what it's there for.
Okay, oh, my gosh. They go to bed one time and they're getting all ready and comfortable and, you know, and then all of a sudden it just, and they go flying off the edge of the bed because it's cranked up too, the spinning is cranked up too fast and Chewie!
Laugh it up, Fuzzball.
He will.
But yeah, anyway, I'm definitely obviously pumped for episode 7, like everybody who's probably listening right now is.
Oh, yes. Well,
so.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to be a good year. Going to be a good year.
It's just annoying that we're going to have to wait till almost the end of the year.
I know, it sucks.
For it. So.
But just think, C6 was already, what, 2 years ago almost? It'll be
almost.
Two years this summer. And that feels like it flew by.
Oh, it was.
Was that 2012?
It was 2 years last summer.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's right, because it was 2012.
2012.
Yeah, because Fan Days was 2010.
2011.
All right, I suck at math, but yes.
Because we started right after Fan Days in 2011, and we were yet a year old as a podcast when we went to C6.
That's right. Holy crap.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the last time I saw you in person.
I know.
That's crazy.
Oh, it'll be like 2.5 years, almost, I mean, like 2.75 years.
Yeah.
Since we've seen each other. That was a sad goodbye
for
the hotel.
Can we not revisit that? I know. Neither of us really went to bed. Crystal dropped us off, you and I, and I think Kyle Baca too.
Yep.
And then we went up to the room for a little bit. I think we like laid down for a couple hours, but I don't think we actually went to sleep.
It was like midnight or something, and you were leaving at 5 in the morning.
Right.
So
we were like just up chatting, and then we walked out and sat on the front little patio or picnic table or picnic chair. Oh my gosh, Carl, use your words. We sat on a bench. There we go. Yes.
The bench is out front waiting for your shuttle to the airport to show up.
It was so sad.
While you tried to avoid
the hotel lady.
The desk lady.
She loved
me. Who had, you know, made advances at you.
yes, she did. Okay. Anyway, moving on. But that was a sad morning.
It was so sad.
And I remember I was so bummed too, because we were supposed to get like some huge announcement that day. On that Sunday, because I had to leave Sunday morning. I didn't even get to go to anything on Sunday. And I was like, Jason, you have to text me right away. And you're like, we're getting Celebration 2 in Europe and Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. I'm like, that's not that big an announcement.
Right.
So I'm still pretty sure Steve Glosson was right. I think at C6 they were intending to announce Episode 7 and all that.
Right. But they wanted to, but
the fact that George Lucas showed up unannounced.
Right.
Kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal, yeah.
I'm sure he won't be at C7, though.
I don't know. Probably not.
I'm sure he'll start distancing himself.
J.J. Abrams?
That'd be pretty sweet, but I don't want to get my hopes up.
Kathleen Kennedy will most likely be there, though. Yeah. I would think so. Because she showed up at C2E2.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what they called Celebration Year 2.
Yep, so. Exactly.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So she'll probably be there, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
It's going to be a lot to look forward to this year. Exactly. Exactly. But anyway, before we get going, we have a Larian inquiry we're going to tackle real quick.
Yes.
And this comes from Dewey the Mailman. I love this name. I hope he's an actual mailman, which is amazing if he is. but he says, question, in the prequels, did you like the puppet Yoda in Phantom Menace or digital Yoda in the other two? Did the Phantom Menace Yoda make it feel more like the OT? Was that what the critical fans want all along since they complained about too much digital effects? So he's basically asking, did we like the puppet Yoda or the digital Yoda? And did it make it feel more like the OT? You want to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
I did not like the puppet Yoda. Once I saw the digital Yoda, I was like, that is so much better. Why did we use the puppet? And honestly, the puppet to me was just so angular. It had too many like edges and corners on it. It wasn't soft and rounded enough, softened out and rounded out enough to even be like the Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi Yoda. Because it was much more natural and rounded looking, I think. But especially like his cheekbone areas under his eyes, a little too angular, I think, for me. And it didn't look enough. I mean, it looked like Yoda, but it was a far enough departure from what we got in the OT that it didn't make it feel like the OT at all. It just was odd. And then when we got the CG Yoda, it was much more in keeping with the design of the OT Yoda. And it just fit the environments of the PT so much better that I liked it more. And I mean, I know there's a lot of people that complain about the different CG effects and the amount of them in the PT. But there was a lot of practical stuff, lots and lots of miniatures, especially in the Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace had a ton of practical sets and miniatures and stuff. So I think there was more miniature shots in the Phantom Menace than in the whole OT combined. I think I saw that stat out there one time. So,
oh, yeah, I believe it.
But yeah,
especially with the pod race arena.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I didn't like the puppet Yoda for Phantom Menace. It didn't fit. It was just weird. It didn't look, I mean, you knew it was Yoda because of the voice and the way it was supposed to look, but
right.
I mean, for being, this is what, like 40 years before Empire Strikes Back. Why does he look so markedly different? Doesn't make sense. He's 900 years old. He's not going to age that much in 40 years.
Right.
you know, and in my opinion, still too, like, the, while the digital Yoda still looks way better, it still looks off to me. Like, he still looks way too young. He looks way too different from Empire Yoda. I mean, they're definitely more spot on than they were with the puppet, but I still think it's a bit off. But yeah, I definitely preferred the digital Yoda, and that's why I like it. Like, on the Blu-ray for Phantom Menace, they put the digital Yoda in, got rid of the puppet, which looks way better. Like you were saying, Jason, it just fits better into the PT feel. But yeah, so I definitely preferred the digital Yoda in the Phantom Menace than the puppet. Just because it's a puppet did not make it feel any more like the OT. Not at all. Because it looked so different that it couldn't. But yeah, I wish they could have just re-rigged the Empire Strikes Back Yoda, to be completely honest, and then used digital Yoda for like the fight scenes and stuff, you know, because it would have looked, I still think it would have looked better. He looks amazing, but he's still digital, and it's so obvious that he's digital. While he's a great digital character, he's still not real. But that's me. This is because I'm an OT guy. I love OT Yoda. So I think it would have been great to have PT puppet Yoda, good puppet Yoda, except for like digital Yoda when, you know, absolutely necessary. So.
See, the thing with that is, you know, I wonder if our position on things, especially, you know, in movies nowadays where there's digital characters, where they're out there as far as like what they are. Like, Yoda is a little short, green, big-eared troll, you know, basically, that you can't really get somebody in a costume to perform. And when you've got a character like that, that you know can't be performed, you know, that actively by a person or a puppet, we know it has to be digital. I'm wondering if that knowledge of the fact that it has to be digital makes us regard that as more fake than it really is. Because to me, Yoda looks really good, especially in Revenge of the Sith. It's almost like I can touch him. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just a thought I was having, because I was having a similar discussion with some friends about the Hobbit movies. And the orcs, but you haven't seen them, so I won't really get into that discussion here. But yeah, I'm just wondering if that's just a thought I had running through my head. But you know, whatever.
All right.
I don't know. I didn't know how to finish that up.
Yeah. But so anyway, thank you, Dewey, for the question. That was a good one.
Yes.
And I think I would say the consensus is people preferred the digital Yoda to the puppet Yoda in Phantom Menace. So,
yeah.
But before we go, Jason, we have a fun matchup, but almost like a poll.
Yeah.
It's a nice little marriage of the two. Poll. Yes.
Yes. Today, before we started recording, I put out the question to you, our Larians. What kind of matchups would you like to see? You know, if you had a suggestion for a matchup. And one of the first ones, if not the first one, to come in was from Eric Marshall. And this is going to be a poll, which is your favorite between the two of these. It's not going to be like a head-to-head who would win matchup. This is a, what is, you know, which one do you prefer? Which Clone Wars series do you like more? The Clone Wars, the animated one, or Clone Wars micro series, the Genndy Tartakovsky 2D one. So that'll be really interesting to see. So,
yeah, yep.
Excuse me.
Can't wait. I can't wait to hear what people have to say, because they're both great series.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'll be interested to see what our Larians think about that. So,
yeah, and we're already pretty sure we know where Joe Hogan stands, but
yes.
Yes. Joe Hogan needs to make sure he listens to this in enough time to respond to this matchup. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or else we're going to give his vote to Jar Jar Binks.
Right, exactly. But if you want to send us a Larian inquiry or respond to this matchup poll thingamabob or anything else, where can they do that, Carl?
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslairpodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslair. And you can always send us an email at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm happy to say we are up to 398 likes on Facebook. This is awesome. Thank you, Larians. We would love it if by the end of the week we could get up to 400. So that would be great. So
that would be awesome.
One little plea.
And of course, if you would like to leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you find our podcast, we really appreciate that as well. But until next time, this has been episode 115 of the Wampus Lair podcast, Someone Who Loves You, because we love Return of the Jedi. We are, of course, the conversation podcast of the StarWarsReport.com's Second Airborne Division of Podcasts. Be sure to check us and all the other great podcasts out at StarWarsReport.com. But until next time, for Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.
Who are you?